Now when we come to chapter 33 here, we have the log of the 40 years. They're wandering in the wilderness. Now we said before that there actually was no record of their happenings in the 40 years. All that you have here is just the log of their journeys. Nothing is said about what took place. Let me just drop down into this chapter and just read to you one or two verses, and you can see how monotonous it is, by the way. Verse 27, they departed from Tahath and pitched at Terah, and they removed from Terah and pitched in Mithkah. Now, friends, that's not very exciting reading. Immediately, you would say, well, what happened there? It's just like you go over to visit a friend of yours that's been away on a trip, and you say to him, tell me about your trip. And he's been, say, to Europe. And he'd say, well, we went to Rome, then we went to Milan, then we went to Florence, and then we went up into Switzerland, and we went to Lucerne, and we went to Zurich, and we went to Geneva, and then we went over in Germany, and we went to Frankfurt, and on like that. You'd like to know what they did at each place. What kind of experiences did they have? What did they see? Well, all we had were just a few incidents that were recorded of the 40 years. But here the log is given. And I just have to say to you that it's pretty monotonous. If you want to know my opinion, I consider chapter 33 pretty boring reading. I've never found it exciting at all. But just as all these chapters have a great spiritual lesson, and this one has, I think, one of the most wonderful spiritual lessons that we've had. Did you notice that for you and me, this is like reading a road map? It's not interesting. But why did God record it? Because God marks every step that these people took. Every step is recorded. Every step of the way. In other words, He was with them every step of the way that they went. He said He'd never leave them nor forsake them, that He would be with them through the wilderness march, and He was with them. Now, we sing a song today, and candidly, I don't like it. I think that it expresses just about the opposite viewpoint that it should. We sing, I'll go with Him all the way. Well, I notice a lot of times, as when I was pastor, I'd look out sometimes Sunday morning and see a congregation singing lustily, I'll go with Him all the way. And you wonder why they didn't come to church Sunday night. And where were they at the midweek service? They were willing to go with Him all the way, provided it wasn't coming back to church. And you wonder really how far they're willing to go with Him. I don't know about you, but that's one song you can take out of the songbook as far as I'm concerned. I'll go with Him all the way. Well, I must confess, I've fallen down time and time again, and I haven't been able to sing it, and I couldn't sing it, of course, but I haven't been able to say it. But I'd like to turn it around and say it as it should be. He'll go with me all the way. He'll go with me all the way. And here is a log of their journeys. Everywhere they went, every time they camped, every place, He was with them. And frankly, they weren't going with Him. They were away from Him a great deal of the time, but He never did leave them, nor did He forsake them. Friends, this is one of the great truths that we have in the Word of God. He'll go with me all the way. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And He's told His own in the upper room, I'll not leave you orphans, I'm coming to you. How? By sending the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is indwelling every believer. And if you're a child of God, you couldn't get away from Him. He wouldn't let you at all. He'll go with me all the way. But what about you and what about me? I can't speak for you. But I find out I'm not very good at going with Him all the way. I'm constantly stumbling and falling down, And I find it very difficult at times to say, even for one short period of time, I've been going with him all the way. But thank God, he's been going with me all the way. Now, we come in this chapter here to verse 51, and here is something that a great many people raise questions about, especially the skeptic today. Verse 51 reads, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places, and ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it." Now, somebody's going to say, well, that's very cruel, I think, for the Lord to tell these people who we've seen have been rather disobedient and put them in the land, and there were such lovely people living in that land. They were nice, quiet neighbors, and they were very sweet folk. And why in the world would the Lord want to put them out of the land? Well, friends, that's the way the liberal's been talking for years. And he gets all wrought up that the Lord put them out of the land. And the chances are every liberal today is living on a piece of ground that once belonged to the Indians. And when the liberals start giving back their property to the Indians, then I'm going to listen to them when they talk about the Old Testament. Now, will you look at this with me for just a moment? After all, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and those that dwell therein. This is his earth, and here are a group of people that are in the land, and what were they told to destroy? Their pictures. What kind of pictures? Pictures of idols. The archaeologist has dug up all of this today, and their molten images, and they're to destroy their high places. That was the place of pagan and heathen worship, and the vilest practices took place in these high places. It would be something that would correspond today to what's happening in this permissive society. It reveals a very low spiritual state, and that they were far from the living and true God. They were idolatrous. Now, added to that, they know today that these people in that land, the Canaanites, were absolutely eaten up with venereal disease. Now, today, we hear that there's more or less of an epidemic of venereal disease, and it is a plague, and it's a grave danger. It does great injury to the human race. Now, that land is right at the crossroads of the world. It's one of the most sensitive spots that there is. It's been that in our day. It always has been that. I think it always will be that. However, someday there'll be peace on the earth. But this land here is very strategic land, and the armies of the world have marched through there, and they had contact with peoples everywhere. Believe me, they were disseminating and scattering this loathsome diseases everywhere. Now, God is putting out a tenant who doesn't pay rent, and they're destroying his property, and they're hurting the rest of mankind. Now, don't come and tell me today, friends, God didn't have the right to do that, and for the sake of oncoming generations, what he did was actually an act of mercy. It was for the sake of the future. The same reason the flood came. God was thinking of the future. It's so easy to criticize today without realizing what all is involved.